The Bartender Rant Podcast, DFW Bar Crawl, is brought to you in partnership with Herd Card Game, the card game for service industry misfits.
Welcome to the Bartender Rant Podcast. I'm your host, Steve Haley. We are coming to you from the Algiers Club in Dallas, Texas. Tucker and the whole team have been so kind to put us up. All right, let's keep this train rolling because I know we got a lot of episodes today and I want to get to our wonderful guest. She has been so patient in waiting for us, not just this morning, but as I'm rambling along.
Patient or plotting?
I'm not both. Sure. She's Chandler's friend. So what do you fucking think, Mike? A little bit of both. Guys, we want to thank you for supporting the show. We could not do it without all you wonderful listeners, you barflies, you executive producers out there. Please keep supporting this community. We've grown at grassroots up until this point, but this is the new phase of the show. We're looking to bring you more video, better audio, way more bonus content, and really continue to make this community something special. And going throughout the country and throughout the world, immortalizing local bartender stories. I think we all know that those people build the fabric of our communities. They give us that third space, that community space, and we want to bring you their amazing stories. So please keep supporting us. Listen to the end of the show. The outro has all the information you could ever need to get involved. And I swear to God, if you skip the middle of this episode when we list all the executive producers, I will find you.
Yeah, no, well, sir, at least listen through to it once because we have sponsors that are helping make this DFW bar crawl a real thing.
So. And if you love it and you're getting it for free, please know these are the people that are making the bus go right now. Lastly, before we start our episodes, and this is very important to us at the Bartender Rant Podcast, especially to Mike and I, mental health is a struggle for all of us daily. It's a practice that we need to invest in, but specifically for the service business, it's something we don't talk about enough. This business weighs on us. We self-medicate. We bury it down with long shifts and, we want to try to build a greater consciousness, you know, whether that's through resources like Chow. Whether that's through you guys just reaching out to Mike and I and letting us be a sounding board for what you're dealing with. We are always happy to listen, to be a friend. Please DM us or email us because we've probably been through some of the things that you're dealing with as well. And we'd love to just talk with you, make you feel normal, or maybe Mike gives you a joke or a laugh for a second. But if you do need some professional help, please do not hesitate. At the end of the show, Mike will provide a hotline and that resource is so important. We want you guys to be healthy, happy, and coming back and enjoying this with us. But you can't do that if you're not taking care of yourself. And as Mike always says,
this world is a more interesting place with you in it.
Damn straight. All right. All announcements and intros aside, Jen, so excited to welcome our wonderful guest to the show. It is Jen. She has brought with us Grandpa's Peach Tea, with Woody Reserve as the special base. So let's get right into it. Jen, how are you on this fine morning?
Doing great. I finally woke up.
Yes. you know, we were driving over here and Chandler made the mistake of going, Jen's not a morning person, so please be nice to her. And I go, I'm coming in hot.
Well, and you weren't supposed to be the first guest either, right?
Right. That's why I asked for the 12th. I told her, I was like, I'll be awake. My face takes time to wake up. And it doesn't matter if it's a 4 o'clock shift, an 8 o'clock shift, if I take a nap, we just, you know, smack it around a little bit and then call it a day.
I feel that. I feel the weight of a pot's worth of gnocchi weighing me down right now.
You know, just little eye cream something supposedly is what the young kids do. Yes. I don't know.
If you have any tricks out there, please DM us. We will prevail and we will press forward, but I'm with you. We wouldn't be able to do the show without guests that were consistently patient, benevolent, and flexible with Michael and I. So thank you.
Got me
for
on
that.
A good day.
Michael and me.
Michael and me. Fuck you. I don't care anymore. Jen.
So sweet.
Jen, what motivated you to say yes to this? Why would you say yes to this?
Well, it was definitely Chandler's nagging.
Yeah, she's good.
Definitely helped. And then there's probably a shot or two where I was like, fuck it, let's do it. Why not?
an actual liquor shot or two. Yes. It's throwing one back.
Just, okay, why not? Screw maybe it. I have an opinion and maybe somebody wants to listen. Who knows? I've only been in this industry for 20 plus years now.
Jesus.
On and off.
Love it. We got a vet in the building today.
I've known a thing or two.
Well, I can't wait to unpack that in the gauntlet. I'm eager to get to the drink, partially because I need an alcohol.
I need a drink, yeah.
I need an alcohol. And also partially because you have one of my favorite drinks. I love anytime the words tea and whiskey come together. So why don't you tell us a little bit about why you picked Grandpa's Peach Tea today and how you make it?
Well, as a Dallas native, which is few and far between, we're really? Not actually born and raised, grew up along the tollway. My grandfather at our family reunions, because they're Baptist and we don't drink, first time I ever drank whiskey, grabbed Grandpa's iced tea, and I was a drunk 6-year-old.
start them early down here in Texas.
You know. But I low-key, my favorite drink is Deep Eddy's iced tea and water.
That's fine. We love it. We're big Deep Eddy's fans on this show.
I've always put iced tea in everything. I also drink a lot of iced tea because that's what I do. But yeah, I was like, why not? Let's do some Woodford. Peaches are awesome in Texas. Let's incorporate a little bit of Texas native. We use Liquid Alchemist peach, which is a sweet, so it's not as sweet tea. And then we've got the Liquid Death peach also.
Oh, okay. So
like
these are
peach tea. Like it's peach, peach on peach.
I like that. Okay. Now, before we take a sip, and I do obviously want you to teach the people how to make it part by part and how you mix it up, I do feel compelled to share with you that the first time ever throwing up from alcohol was from peach whiskey. And I try to avoid peach whiskey, but I'm very excited for this drink because I know we got a pro in here that is going to curate a great cocktail. So teach us how to make it. Teach all the listeners out there.
Can we taste it?
So No. You want to taste it first? Fine.
Let's
you
know cheers. What, like, come on, I need too. Some air of the dog.
Let's put a glass in the air.
Air of the dog.
And as we always say, don't just listen along.
Drink along. Or don't.
Oh, that's great. I wouldn't even know there's alcohol in there.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah, neither would a 6-year-old, right?
It just literally tastes like fresh tea. That's awesome.
If you do it right, it shouldn't taste like anything.
Chemicals. Peach chemicals.
Peach chemicals.
All right, so teach the people how to make it because this is a good one.
This one is in your average pint glass. I did 2 ounces of Woodford bourbon and then about a 1/2 ounce of the peach Liquid Alchemist. And then I just topped it with the Liquid Death over ice. Super easy build. You can do it at home. Grandma doesn't need to know that you're not drinking iced tea.
Bang.
Walk around. There you go.
Love
Get
it.
A 6-year-old drunk. Who knows?
Absolutely love it. This is a great freshman dorm drink as well. You know, the RA comes by. He's like, what are you kids doing?
Nice tea.
I swear. Yeah, officer, please try it. You know, I don't even care. And you get the pass. That's awesome. And so this is another great cocktail out there that as long as you go out, get your parts, get set up correctly. It's not hard to mix, right? We're not shaking. We're really just kind of maybe a finger stir feels appropriate.
I used a spoon.
Sure.
Y'all.
Sure.
I didn't want to put the hatred in your glasses just yet. That's what I tell all my bar guests. They're like, oh, this is great. I'm like, it's a little hint of hatred.
I guess we don't know where everybody's fingers have been. Isn't that right, Mikey? you don't want any of your fake nails falling off in Granddad's peach tea. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the cocktail history before we move on to your drink and learn a little bit more about your service industry career. So obviously you're using Woodford Reserve today. Mm-hmm. Was excited about that because – you know, Maryland being a big horse breeding, horse racing state, especially around Baltimore, Woodford is everywhere. And there are some bars that are like Woodford staple bars. So I've worked with a lot. It's a whiskey that I really enjoy. And we've never had a profile on the show. So this is an awesome opportunity to talk a little bit about them. They began distilling in 1812, which I think is a cool year because amidst the fires and turmoil of war, there is a distillery down in Kentucky brewing that beautiful brown liquid. They were originally called Old Oscar Pepper Distillery.
No way.
And I'm sorry, Woodford Pepper. Reserve, great name, but Oscar Pepper fucking distillery.
That's pretty solid.
That's a great name, dude. That is just a great name. I kind of wish they would have stuck with that, but there's something about that just rolls off the tongue. It makes me feel like backwoods pot and still type of shit.
Yeah, with like the, what is it, the mellow yellow, like green and yellow label. Like, why doesn't Woodford do like an old school throwback?
So they do have
that name.
They do have some like limited series stuff that harkens back to some like, you know, early labels, prohibition style labels. But, you know, they're still all Woodford. And they have a pretty simple bottle. I think the shape is more distinctive than any of the logo or branding on there. You know, it's that very thin kind of squared out bottle. But I just love that name. So Oscar Pepper, a real person, you know, now in the age of Dr. Pepper, it just doesn't sound right. But Oscar Pepper passed the distillery, actually sold it to a business partner, James C. Crowe. And of course, we all know James C. Crowe from many other his hand in many other whiskey distilleries. And James C. Crowe actually sold it back to Oscar Pepper's grandson, James E. Pepper. And I know you know that name as well because of James E. Pepper bourbon. Mm-hmm. So it's a very incestuous community there in the Kentucky, Louisville, you know, area. And that's fine. That's fine. It's just clearly this very small intertwined group of people are really responsible for what we know today as American rye, American bourbon, and all these great blended whiskeys. Mm-hmm. A few more just quick facts off the top. They are the official sponsor of the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, I mentioned their ties to horse racing. And we know them as being the core spirit in a mint julep, the official drink of the Kentucky Derby. What I didn't know is that every single year at the Kentucky Derby, Woodford Reserve produces $150,000 mint juleps. They are on a first-come, first-serve for the very VIP tent people. If you're in one of those VIP tents, you can buy them until they're gone. It is a 100% solid gold plated goblet that you get with it. You can take that home. So, you know, you get your bang for your buck, but it's $1,000 mint julep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So they produce 150 of them for the race every year.
I thought you were saying $150,001.
It's hard to say.
That's why I was a little confused.
$150,001 mint juleps. They also produce 25 mint juleps that are in solid gold-plated goblets, and those are $2,500 a pop, and they're there till they're gone, and I think that that's super cool. I just love the – I don't know how much they're making on the margins there, but I just think they really lean into the class, the vibrato of mm-hmm. this event that's so tied to their mm-hmm. brand and their core drink. So obviously we're not doing the julep today, but let's raise a glass in the air for Woodford Reserve.
Yes. Old Oscar Pepper.
Short arm.
For this wonderful concoction. Well, Jen, we always say this is your rodeo and we're the clowns. So I want to turn the tables. We're going to shut up a little bit. I want to hear about your drinkin.
My what?
This is your service industry LinkedIn. So a couple questions. The first one is, how did you first ever get into the restaurant business?
My dad told me to get a fucking job.
Yeah.
So I... awkwardly.
You're 7 years old and you're drunk all the time.
You're a mess kid.
Actually, true story, I was 14 and my dad was drunk all the time. And that poor man went from not having children to a full-time teenage daughter and didn't know what the fuck to do with me.
Yeah.
And we used to go to Lake Louisville all the time and I would wake him up like, hey, dad, I'm awake. Let's do something. And he would be hungover and he was like, can you get a job breakfast waitressing? Is this illegal? So smart father. Sent me off to work at 5:30 in the morning.
So it was a hangover buffer? That's what that was. Okay. All right. Very strategic play by him.
Yeah. I mean, my dad, he's a funny, funny man, drinks a lot, looks like an Irish Viking. I tell everybody, I was raised by my dad on whiskey and sarcasm. So here it is. And this is my resting bitch face all the time.
I love it. I love it. What an amazing legacy to pass down right there. Whiskey and sarcasm. So the first position was breakfast restaurant. Can you share the name of that place?
It used to be called Charlie's Pier 121 Marina Grill in
the fucking terrible shit. Name. That's a terrible
yeah.
name.
Yeah. It was floating because have lakes. I mean, they're not great lakes. First time I went to Chicago and saw a lake where it's clear water, I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Because I've never seen that before.
This lake has waves.
Yeah. Oh, so it's like, boats and stuff. But yeah, it's still there. It's not called Charlie's anymore. It's still floating. Maybe this summer it dried up a little bit. But yeah, it's still there and they still serve breakfast to people. Yeah.
Did they have a go-to meal, anything in particular? Is it just like get some eggs, get some pancakes?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, boat life, living, people pretty much stayed on the boat all weekend. So it was like we had a little shop where you can get beers and ice and the things.
I dig it.
But yeah, most people would just get like bacon, eggs, and, you know, your standard breakfast. I learned how to make a Bloody Mary. Didn't know it was illegal for me to make a Bloody Mary until one of the guys was an actual police officer who's like, don't ever touch that liquor bottle again. I was like, well, it's 7 a.m. Obviously, you're going to have a Bloody Mary. No, underage, can't do it.
Did they start you right as a server?
Yeah, I pretty much, they gave me the keys.
You're responsible for closing the restaurant, try not
like
to
open it.
Get you drunk. Yeah.
Yeah. It was
keys
great.
To the dog.
It was a good time.
Nice. Pretty much. I love that because if anybody has ever worked a breakfast restaurant or a diner out there, you don't truly have bartenders at a lot of these places. So, you know, you're your busser, you're your server, you're kind of stopping behind to make some cocktails, you're seating people at the door, you're checking people out at the front, you know.
Hey guys.
It's one of those you know, you're doing parking in the parking lot. Yeah, you gotta move, buddy. You're double parked here. You know, you kinda got jack of all trades. It's a great place to learn.
Time oh, boats yeah. up. No,
yeah. I mean literally yeah.
It's a great
the
place
gas
to learn.
Dock was right down there. I had to do that too. I don't know who thought it was a good idea to let me be in charge of something at that age.
They saw potential in you, Jen.
Sure. Right.
Well, question number two, where did you go from there? Tell us about some of the different positions you've held, maybe some of the different stops geographically if you moved out of Texas. But
never moved out. Been here my whole life.
You true
life.
Blue.
I'm true Texan.
True Texan.
True Texan. I'm actually 9th-generation Texan, which
wow.
means my family hated each other at the Alamo for a minute. I have ties to both sides.
Really?
Which is kind of cool. But yeah, I did that, went to school, and then worked at a little place called Red Hot and Blue, which was a barbecue place, Memphis-style barbecue.
Do they have more than one chain? Because
uh-huh.
we
have yeah, one in Joplin. Well, there used to be one
the
in Joplin.
The OG one is here.
We have a Red Hot and Blue in Maryland. I love that place.
Yeah, I think they sold franchise. I mean, this was, we're talking 1996, 7? Yeah. Graduated in 99, in case anybody's asking.
Oh, great year to graduate, too.
Oh, it's great. It was a good time. I love the 90s. It's
now, awesome. Were you one of these people like, woo, 2000s are coming, or were you one of these Y2K, the world's going to fall apart kind of people?
I just didn't really give a shit.
There you go. That's a Texan staring into the face of adversity and not giving a flying fuck because she's from Texas. What are some of the other stops? Because obviously you're going from waitressing, kind of doing this at the diner, jack of all trades, but you know, you really get into more cocktailing and bartending.
Yeah. So back then people didn't understand what craft cocktails were. We just poured and here's your vodka soda, or I mean, an old fashioned was few and far between ordered. Met my lovely ex-husband, which we're still friends, which is weird to a lot of people, but he was always a bartender. So I've kind of been in and out of this industry multiple times.
Yeah.
But he was always in it. So I say I was always in it because I was the one that was like, hey, maybe we should try this at home. Like I was always the creative brain for him, or not for him, but to push him. And then this is probably my longest stint of actually being 100% just a bartender, which has been about 6 years now. I worked at got laid off from my office job. What do you do? Back to the service industry.
The There's ultimate safety net, right? Job. Yeah.
Had a friend that was running a little farm-to-table restaurant in downtown McKinney. He was like, hey, Jen, him and I worked together at La Hacienda Ranch in 2001. He was like, hey, I need help. And I was like, okay, I'm here. Waited tables. And then he was like, I need help behind the bar. I was like, cool. Haven't slung a drink in about a decade.
Since I poured that Bloody Mary for that cop once.
And then it just kind of, the creative juices just kept going. So
I love that. I love that.
It was a good time. But what, now...
Did anything really spark the passion for more craft as you were getting more comfortable behind the bar in that way?
I like drinking.
Yeah.
That'll <You're> do it.
A deep-seated inner passion.
I just like tasty liquid in cups. But yeah, I just, you know, some people, like I told a friend of mine, I was like, you know, during the pandemic when everything was shut down, and at the time I was actually just bartending on the side and worked for headquarters of a major chain where I did like all the ordering for the back of the house, front of the house stuff. And I was like, well, let's make a Ramos Gin Fizz at home and get really fucked up and sling a lot of eggs all over my kitchen. Why not? And I just kind of grew. I was like, some people learned that they could draw. Some people did music. I just made cocktails in my kitchen for me and my dogs.
I love that.
Yeah. It helps too when your art gets you drunk. You know,
yeah, I mean, it was a good time. I think I was hungover for about 3 to 6 months during that time.
I just adopted a puppy. Please, dear God.
Good luck.
Do not ever come up with a Ramos Gin Fizz for dogs, because if you do, the lady is going to make me make them for Tate non-fucking stop. And I'm not doing that.
Well, you shouldn't allow your dogs to drink.
No, I meant like a doggy safe Remus Jenkins.
at least until he's a year or two old.
Yeah.
I mean, my golden retriever, if you had rye whiskey in your glass and you're just holding
it. Oh, he got
her face was in
really
in it, and she loved rye. Like, we tested her.
Really?
I'm a horrible dog owner. I know. I'm sorry. Rest in peace, Lily. Not my fault. But
what you don't know is we started the last episode talking about the one bite law for pit bulls. I don't know what we're doing with it. Why has the DFW just been all about like animal, like the animals? I feel like Sarah McLachlan's going to walk into the studio right now.
In the arms of angels.
Happy dog. Anyway. She preferred rye over bourbon, and I tested it with her nose, and she always went for the rye whiskey.
That's killer. Like,
would get in your face.
She's got good taste.
I'm going to talk about some good content. A dog whiskey tasting, you know. I mean,
That would be hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, a lot of people are impressed by bomb sniffing dogs. I'm impressed by rye whiskey sniffing dogs. So tell us, where are you now? And if you can share the name of the space, that's great. We would love to promote it and send people there to support you.
So I'm currently at a wonderful basement bar called Midnight Rambler. A lot of people consider a speakeasy. A giant cocktail neon sign before you go down the stairs, so I don't consider it a true speakeasy. Like in Chicago, you have to go through the bookcase that knows the George, and we're just a basement lounge. It's been open under Midnight Rambler, I think, for just over 10 years. We're very much, my lead bartender is a female. I'm a female. I've been there for just about it'll be 2 years at the end of this month.
That's awesome.
Which is amazing.
Nice little anniversary.
The person that hired me on used to run one of my favorite bars in Dallas, and it's kind of a staple called Black Swan. And it was in Deep Ellum, and he was one of the first, he's going to get so mad at me for saying this, but kind of like one of the first people that I recall that really started doing crafts.
Okay.
Never had a menu, always had an interesting back bar. He had this gift, like you would walk in, you could be busy, but he made you feel like you were important at that moment. Mm. And he'd always do really badass infusions. And I was like, well, what are you doing with the fruit on the back thing? And so randomly one night I was working at another place, kind of tired of it. And he was like, do you know anybody that wants to bartend? And I was like, for where? He was like, here. I was like, yeah, me. He was like, yeah, send me your resume. I was like, I'm not sending Gabe my resume. Like, he's like my mentor, or somebody I've looked up to.
Yeah.
Super, like, not intimidating, but I was like, I'm not going to do it. Went in a few weeks later. He's like, hey, girl, where's my resume? I was like, well, I don't have your card or your email. I was like, oh, we're serious. And then 2 days later, I get a text message. He was like, fuck it. Let's just sit down and have a conversation. I was like, oh, fuck. I have to quit my actual other job now.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's insane because we've gotten a lot of accolades recently. We've been in the New York Times for Haley and I are kind of psycho. I mean, we do. And that's what I do love about Rambler, and our team is really little. Like, there's three primary bartenders, a couple of cocktails, a manager, a couple of bar backs. Like,
yeah.
And our bar backs, what we, you know, hands down in any bar, and I tell this to all the young folk in the industry, first person you make friends with is the dishwasher in your restaurant, because they have a horrible day every day. Have you seen the stuff on the plates?
Yeah.
Second behind the bar, always be nice to your bar backs. Sometimes they fuck off and get lazy. That's okay. But always, always be nice to them, because they're doing the shit so we can do our shit and we're not having to fiddle with everything.
It's a delicate ecosystem that we have injected ourselves.
Did you say ecosystem or ecosystem? Because it is a delicate ecosystem too.
I hadn't thought about it that way, but that might be more appropriate
we all have
explanation
an ego.
For sure. I love that. So please, you know, go support Jen at Midnight Rambler. I hope that we're going to have a chance to actually get there. You know, I know that Aldo the Apache doesn't like fighting in a basement because it's a fucking basement. But I will tell you this. I prefer a bar in a basement. There is something about going beneath ground level that mm-hmm. makes me feel seedy. I just want to drink. I want to be in a dark corner doing my thing, playing some cards with my friends as we have a fun conversation. I love a good basement bar. I hope we get to get there on this trip. But that's so cool.
Down.
That's so cool. All right. Chandler's threatening you now. I'm going to do it too.
Okay. Go ahead.
It is time for the gauntlet, Jen.
Okay.
All right. And this is not supposed to be easy. We're going to put the screws in on you. We can't wait to hear your amazing stories. We're gonna press a little bit.
How much?
And I have no doubt that this ninth generation Texan is gonna be ready for the challenge. But I still have to ask: are you ready, Jen?
I'm ready as I'll ever be.
There it is. Well, with Grandpa's peach tea motivating us, okay, let's get into the gauntlet.
Cheers, y'all.
Okay, Jen, question number one of the gauntlet.
Oh.
Pet peeves and misconceptions. Now, these can be your pet peeves about coworkers, about customers, just about the business in general. They can also be misconceptions that the patrons have about us or the service business.
Well, how long do we have? Because I've got a lot. no, biggest pet peeve, like, I think I'm pretty easygoing, which is not a true story, but I hate it when people snap at me.
Or like physically snap?
Like this to get my attention. I'm like, bow, wow, wow, not a dog. What do you want? And I give them that exact face. Like, again, whiskey and sarcasm. Hi.
And just a little touch of hatred.
Everything has a little disdain, sprinkle. Yeah. You know? Luckily, because I've always had cherry, like chubby cheeks. Some people are like, is she being a cunt or is she? Sorry, I love that word.
So do I. You're in safe space.
Okay, I was like, some people don't like it. I'm like, good. But yeah, snapping doesn't get you very far in my bar.
Yeah.
Also, when I'm in the service, well, I have been notorious if my cocktail's being a twat's other favorite word.
Yeah, twats and cunts. Cunts and twats.
Be like, oh, this is your ticket? Yeah, it's over here now. Go fuck yourself. Like, respectful. Even as a patron, be respect. The people in front of you are doing a job.
Mm-hmm. It has always been a dream.
Go ahead.
It's been a dream of mine with the snappers, the waivers, the whistlers to just jump right on and be like, oh, of course. Yeah, no problem. And make the drink for them and then stare them directly in the eyes as I'm about to hand it to them. Just drop it.
Oh, that would be good.
And then walk away. Just for that moment.
You're giving
moment
her some bad ideas.
Yeah. Well, you say bad, I say amazing.
Amazing. But yeah, snapping. And also if somebody says, hey, how are you doing? Let that register. And say, I'm great. Can I please? Or you don't even have to say please at this point.
Just don't say Miller Lite.
Yeah. I'm like, great. It happens. You know, we at Rambler try to give that individualized kind of experience, even though we are a craft bar team, but we still try to have that connection. I try to get your name. I kind of want to know what the hell you're doing in my bar and why, you know? And I think that's what makes us great and why we're so fantastic.
Well, you said it's a small team. It sounds like not a very big venue, I assume, right?
It's more actually intimate bigger space. And hopefully y'all will get to come in the next few days, but it's bigger than you probably think it is.
Okay.
I've got 9 bar seats and then I've got 8 tables. Yeah.
It's still pretty intimate. I mean, you're going to have a lot of close shoulder interaction.
Oh, I mean, we get 2 to 3 people deep on like a Friday and Saturday. And then I've got a whole other back section that everybody thinks. Also, another thing, if the curtains are closed, mind your fucking business.
Yeah.
Why do you have to open them up and be like, what's in here? The wizard. That's where I keep my dead body.
Paid no attention to the man behind the curtain.
We shouldn't have to print signs that say employees only for you to not fuck around. You know?
No, people still don't give a fuck. We have a giant sign that says employees only. And they're like, is this the bathroom? And I also had people, dumb bitches, sorry, Dallas, that try to go through the employee because they think that's the speakeasy inside the speakeasy.
Mm. Ah, uh-huh. So because are you guys like, are you listed as a speakeasy?
Yes.
So you kind of mentioned this earlier. They're like the real speakeasies. You got to turn the bookcase or it's hidden in some way. It's got a secret code. Yeah.
And there's a lot of those in Dallas. Like there is.
But right.
That's what I'm like. I don't consider it.
So do people come there and they're like, where is it? Where's the trap door?
Yeah. Oh, no, people do. They're like, oh, is this the speakeasy? And I'm like,
I got to give them a little bit of, kind of understandable.
It's hard. It's a hard, hard spot to be in. But yeah, pet peeves. Just don't snap at me.
Just put a bookshelf, in the stairwell.
You know what you really need?
Right under the neon sign.
They need a sign above the bar that just said, you've made it.
Oh my God.
Final destination.
Congratulations. You have arrived.
Those are good ones. And those are classics. Any other pet peeves that or misconceptions that people have that you've noticed?
I mean, I'm there's a lot, but nothing off the top. I just hate being snapped at and being treated like
be respectful.
Shit.
Courtesy.
Treat Jen with respect. Really, she's going to take care of you.
I feel like our generation is losing manners. I also was raised by a very eloquent grandmother that forced me to learn manners that I still don't recall. But
is that the counterpart to this grandpa's?
This is my PhD? Actually, this one is off. I actually called him Frank, my step grandfather, but his wife, Judy, who's her and I used to drink gin martinis.
I will tell you something. I have an unbelievable track record with Judy's. Every one of them has been a special, special person.
Oh,
I
she was special. Judy's. When she passed away, God rest her soul, I found 8 bottles of Galliano in the back of her pantry.
Fuck yeah.
She loved Galliano.
Good for her. Good for her. On that note, Mike, tear up for question number 2.
Question number 2, best and worst tips. Now, these can, of course, be monetary. You know, somebody left you a fat tip or maybe stiffed you in a quite spectacular way. But these can also be like a gift that maybe a patron has left with you, or even a piece of advice.
Some sentimental.
Oh, something sentimental. I don't recall because I don't really have feelings. I'm just joking.
you have one feeling and it's hatred.
It is hatred. Just a little bit. But I mean, I've had some really outstanding, like I was going through some family stuff and one of my regulars gave me $1,000 just cash.
Jesus.
Because he knew kind of the situation I was going through. I was, you know, in the middle of my divorce. Again, we're still friends, but he knew that I pretty much kind of walked away. I was like, you can keep everything. I'm taking the certain things that I want, which were the dog and my awesome wine hutch. And then I kind of had to, like, you know, forks, plates, like, civilized human. And so he just came over and gave me $1,000 knowing that I was in the process of purchasing all that, which was really, really sweet. Worst tips, just give us a decent amount of money. I had one guy actually put 0.01 on the tip line, and in my head I was like, fuck you, George.
Yeah, that's that's intentional.
And
yeah.
I still remember that.
What? Yeah. What was the point? I mean, did you piss him off or something? I mean, what?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, to deliberately leave the least amount that you can of actual U.S. currency is quite something. I mean, there is that's sadistic if you ask me.
Yeah.
This seems about as appropriate time as any. I didn't know what episode this week I was going to be able to share this on, but since you gave us the pet peeve of waving and snapping. And now you've told us about, you know, just give us something, you know, if you're going to go out to a restaurant, understand that tipping is kind of part of the experience.
That's how we live.
Just about a week ago, I had a girl walk into my bar that was part of a birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
The birthday girl was
favorite.
The birthday girl was a friend, right? Very close friend of the bar. So we thought, let's let them run up a check. Yep. You know, no rules for them. Whatever they want, right? It was kind of that one of those. At one point, the birthday girl was behind the bar, right? Like pouring drinks for her friends, right? You know, we're really loose on the rules with her. So we assume you're with her. She's a friend. You're going to treat us right.
Oh, girls never tip. This? Especially in large groups.
Oh, way worse than that. You don't like snappers and waivers?
Oh, Lord.
She walked right into the bar, walked right up, and starts waving these two $20 bills. I'm talking like she's been in there for 30 seconds, and she's at the bar waving them. I have a moment where I don't know how or why I did this, but I buried my asshole, like, way down. I was like, I'm not going to do this right now. I'm going to be polite because she's a friend of our friend, right? So I walk up, and I'm like, what can I get you? She rattles off 3 cocktails. At least she had her order ready.
There you go.
And I just very politely tell her, hey, you know, waving money at the bar is not going to help you. I'm going to go make these drinks, but don't do that again. So I go, I make the cocktails real quick, like under a minute, all 3, come back, deliver them to her. And she goes, what's the problem with me waving money? And I was like, yeah, again, I'm not even upset. Here are your drinks. But that is the fastest way to get a bartender to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And her response is this, I swear to God, she goes, well, how else am I supposed to get service?
Oh,
and I was like, will you be patient like everybody else? And I was like, you just walked in the door. You've been in here less than 30 seconds. This is when it got absolutely jumped the shark.
I love
this. She goes, well, I'm a bartender and I've got no problem with that.
We've all been bartenders at some point in our life, honey.
My immediate answer was, well, you're probably not a very good one. And just walked away. She lost her shit, immediately paid for her tab.
Uh-huh.
You know, she's screaming for her tab. She pays in cash. I give her the change and she stiffs us. And as she's about to walk away from the bar, I was like, so you wave money and you don't tip? You must be a great bartender.
Yeah, what bar is that? Because I would like to visit.
Yeah, where do you work, Chili's?
Good, I'm a bad bitch.
Yes.
That's one. You get one personal story per episode today.
That's fine.
That's
I
it.
Love that.
That's
story.
No, it's a great story.
I felt
it's
like that was
story.
Appropriate just because of how she's great. Let us in with the pet
one
peeve
person, that's
and the
it.
Misconception, you know, and the tip too, right? Yeah. So we got stiffed and she was waving the money. But I, dude, when the anger washed over her face, I felt so good. Oh my God, is that wrong?
That was your tip.
Should
that
I
was
not
your
feel
tip.
That way?
Hatred. We all have a little bit of hatred in our
All right. All right. Question number three.
Oh God.
There we go. I'm getting better at this. Question number three, worst drink orders. Now, these can be those drinks when people order them, you just cringe. You're like, ugh, are you serious? You're going to drink that? Or drinks you hate to make. You know, the length of a Remus gin fizz when you're going to close in 5 minutes. Yeah. But Mike, explain, it's more than just that.
Yeah, I mean, it could also just be the worst drink that another bartender has ever made for you.
Malort? I actually
that's not the bartender's fault.
I was like, Malord and I actually have a funny relationship. I think it's like, you know, some people when they eat cilantro, it tastes soapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Malord has an awkward sweetness to me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get like, I mean, I do get kind of that worm, whatever.
The wormwood, yeah.
Thank you. Can't use my mouth.
It's got worms. In it.
Yeah,
it's
worms.
It made with real worms.
Has worms. But yeah, it has like a weird sweetness to it.
Shout out to Regina, who we interviewed. She came out to Baltimore. She's from St. Pete's, Florida. And she drinks it hot in a champagne flute.
She made me
they nice. Heat it up in a tea kettle.
She made me heat it up on the stove for her.
I want to meet this beautiful magic person.
The taste of Malort is fine. It doesn't have a bad taste. It's the bitter aftertaste
yeah.
that
yeah.
just doesn't go
that.
Away. That's just
it
you don't
does
you really
not no,
I don't,
go away.
It, bitter, it to me, I was like, it. You could give me a shot of Malort and a shot of a shitty whiskey, and it's about the same.
Hmm.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It just clings to you.
No, it's like she said. It's like the cilantro thing. Yeah. There's something like different with your biology.
Different strokes for different folks. You know what I mean? But seriously, tell
worst
me something about those
orders.
Drinks that like somebody orders at the bar and you just like that tickle goes up your spine. Like why?
There's really not that many. I mean, I will not toot my own horn and actually put myself in the gutter. I have kind of a memory of a gnat. Like I don't remember names. I can remember faces. So like a lot of the classics, I'm like, I know the ingredients. I don't know the specs off the top of my head.
Right.
But my biggest issue, and I don't mind if I have the ingredients at any bar that I'm working, I will do my best to accommodate. If obviously I'm not going to somehow make Campari if I don't have Campari on the back
right.
bar.
Right.
But when you get the groups and you've got the one person that's ordering for the group, this is another pet peeve where they're like, Tito's and soda. Bring the Tito's and soda. An espresso martini. Fuck. Like, they just keep...
One at a time?
One at a time, knowing that there's six or eight people. And I'm also, you know, when you become efficient and know your lay of your land, like, I can take six drink orders
yeah.
while I'm making sick
yeah.
and be closing out a couple of tabs yeah. all at the same time. So the people that... And they don't, it's not even difficult drinks. It's just,
they underestimate you.
I was like, get the whole
dead Carl on from Iowa's Best Bartender, that was one of his. He's like, I can make more than one fucking drink at a time.
Yeah.
Just tell me what you want. And
what
I'll,
else?
And I'll, yeah.
You'll know that you're going to, that you're starting to piss me off if I'm going like this. Literally, what else? Like, what else? What else? Yeah, I got it. Three Bud Lights and a Miller Lite, two espresso martinis, and three shots of Jameson. Okay, what else?
What else?
What else? I see more fuckers behind you. Okay, stop wasting my time.
Yeah, I mean, that's just, again, having common decency and courtesy. But yeah, I mean, there's
self-awareness too. Yeah.
Part of me wants to believe that they're just being dumb. It's again, they've dropped their IQ points. They're not being self-aware,
yeah.
but I really
maybe did too much.
I do also. Yeah, that too. I really do also think that it's like, I want mine and I want it now. So like they order their, you know, the first drink in the line is never the drink for their
friend. That's a cynical way of looking at it.
Yeah,
that is very true. Yeah. It's, they're like, somebody made eye contact. Let me order something. And I know that stuff happens, but I mean, yeah, there's not really a layered cocktail because I'm shaky anyways, and that shit's not going to turn out. And I'm such a perfectionist, that it pisses me off when I don't layer it correctly. So I'm like, ugh, and when I'm busy, I'm like,
if we get to the Midnight Rambler, I know what I'm getting.
Oh yeah, what do you
just blowjobs?
Any one at a time.
Any layered, any layered cocktail. Yeah. One at a time.
I and you know the other part of this is if you're 3 to 5 deep at the bar, it's super busy, and somebody's finally fought to your bar, and then they're going to order one at a time. I mean, my immediate response to you is if you're in a group, you had all this time to get here.
Yeah.
You tell me now is when we're going to start the conversation about what do you want. What does she want? Come on, people. Like and I want to hear the struggle, okay? We all got problems. Yours are not unique. You just waited 20 minutes to get a drink. Tell me why you don't have your fucking full order ready to go.
Why do you not already know?
Come on. God, I could go. I could go all day. We could do a podcast just on that. It fucking drives. I hate the lack of efficiency. All right, Mike, tear up for number 4.
Question number 4, mistakes and fuck-ups. So these can be yours or your coworkers or another service industry professional you've seen out in the wild.
I mean, I have by accident because we do a lot of batch bottles. I pretty much, sorry, coworkers. Instead of simple syrup, I was pouring one of our batched cocktails in the old fashions, and it was a private party and nobody said anything. And I realized it when I straw tasted it because I was like, I don't think this looks right. But it was like after that first wave of a private party. And I was like, yeah, oopsies. I was putting rum instead of
this. You and Chandler are kindred spirits because Chandler did it with what? Bacon infused
vodka.
Oh, yeah.
She made over 200 cocktails.
Thinking it was simple syrup. So making bacon mojitos.
She's but that was thing. Sweetener. Yeah.
Maybe that's not a bad idea, though.
I don't think
her wheels are turning again.
I don't think mint and bacon. I don't think you can make mint and bacon work for me. I'll try a lot of things.
You put like a mint chutney on your lamb and pork chops?
God damn it. God damn it. She's good. I'll have a lamb chutney, mint jelly, martini.
See, that's where I think a lot of the times
we could do customers, a lamb fat watch.
We kind of discussed this. We did discuss this a little bit last night, but that's where like customers who are trying to be courteous, like don't want to complain, don't want to send stuff back. But there's a difference between identifying a problem and complaining.
Right.
You know what I mean? You could let the staff know. It's like, I just want this tastes a little off. I just want to make sure. You know what I mean? And you could have saved a bunch of other people's drinks.
So many people are scared. They've now been conditioned to be like, don't ever send anything back, say anything at a restaurant. But there is that in between, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be an asshole. You can do it politely. But we don't get better if we don't get feedback.
True.
If I have a brand new line cook and he's over seasoning steak, how do I fucking know if I'm just a server there and I haven't had the dish or I haven't had the dish from him? You need to tell him, hey, this seems really overseasoned, you know, and maybe I just I file that away. I don't immediately go tell that cook. But if 4 people have told me the steak is fucking overseasoned, then it's very simple. I go to the head chef, you know, in my line of authority, and I say, hey, listen, you know, we got this new line cook. I'm getting this common feedback. Maybe it's not a problem, but let's see if we at least want to like look at it. Should we address it? So we do need feedback to get better.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I take constructive criticism very well. Actually, I don't.
I was going to say.
We do. I think a lot of the time on this show, we dictate for patrons, especially non-industry people who have never worked in the industry. I do want to say on record, on camera, we make mistakes occasionally, not very often, not as much as you guys, but we do occasionally. And we do need your feedback to get better. That is, I think that's what makes a really great place, is constantly striving to be better too. So I love that. That's great. Mistake or fuck up. I have to ask you though, you're a vet. Ryan, you've worked down here in Texas. We've learned from our small time here, our short time here, that the craft scene, the higher end scene is just really like blossoming at this point in Texas. A lot of dive bars, a lot of locals and yokels hanging out.
Support your local dive bar.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to have seen some other bartender in the wild crashing and burning.
Oh, I mean, it's so hard. If you guys have done this job, when you go to a bar, especially like if it's a home bar, which I have like my little favorite place, and I'm seeing them get killed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, I know these people, I've drank with these people, like they're family, and you'll see me at the end just kind of tapping my
head. It hurts you?
Tag me in, coach. I can help. let me help you. Like it's hurtful because you're like, I know you're better than this.
You almost feel like you don't even deserve your cocktail. Like, I should leave. Yeah, I should leave. Here's all the money I have.
Take the rest of these fuckers with me. Let's go.
I'll wash my own glass. It's okay. I'm going to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember the question now.
That was ultimate mistakes and fuck ups. I'm just always fishing for those times that somebody has really, you know, crashed and burned. And I just thought with the length of time in the business that you might have a few other cheeky
ones. Probably. I mean, I've worked at dive bars. I've worked at nice restaurants. I've worked at where I'm currently at. I'm sure there's probably, and when I leave and probably take a nap, I'll probably text you and be like, hey, remember this? Here's a funny story.
That's why we have the Boilermaker.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll have you back on one day. Well, that brings us to question number 5.
I love how much trouble you have with the bell.
But it's not even a bell this time.
You can't even hit a thing onto another thing.
It's not even a bell this time.
It's embarrassing.
I think
you're doing it. Great. Listen, watch out, because I will sign you this motherfucking bellboy. All right? Yeah, we'll see how you do it with your nails on. See, actually, click that with the nail. Oh, that's actually not bad. All right. Question number 5, health code violations. Okay. It's very important. We have a rule for this category.
Yeah. We go through training for it.
Protect the innocent.
Right.
And the guilty.
Especially.
Unless you know, as long as we're not going to get litigation, you know, brought against us, that's, you can share whatever you want, but we do like to keep certain names, you know.
Every bar has the corner in the cooler where you find something that's a little bubbled up. I try it because I'm curious. Maybe it fermented correctly.
Oh, really?
My God.
Oh, yeah. Why not?
How are you still alive?
Hatred.
Well, she's been seasoned, you know, like literally pickled.
Yeah, I do love pickled things.
From an early age.
But yeah. But yeah, I mean, every bar has, you find a date and you're like, is that February of this last year or February 5 years ago? Who knows? I mean, it just happens. Biggest issue that I've always played with, pay attention to your milk and creams.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times if it's sitting in the front of that cooler, that temperature is not actually where it's supposed to be.
Mm.
So don't get the big, big, giant things and leave it in your cooler. Put it, like, keep it in a good cooler, grab a squeeze bottle or like a little cheater.
Yeah.
And do little bits at a time.
Have you seen that they're now making prepackaged milks, like prepackaged creamers, so that you can keep everything sealed?
No.
I love that because that is a big thing, right? You like need the milk behind the bar because the second you don't have it, you're fucked.
That's the
right?
Everybody asks for, what is it, White Russians?
You know, yeah. Somebody comes in with their 6 kids and they all want chocolate milk, you know.
Fuck yourself.
So you need it, but, and you need the cream. There's a million drinks that we need the cream for, but I just love having them prepackaged because then I don't have to worry about that.
That is pretty cool. That's pretty smart too. Yeah. And it's not as too many hands in the pot, basically.
And they have like different ounce sizes. You can do like the standard little creamer 1 ounces all the way up to 4 ounces for the milks. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it is so much more helpful that way. I did once work at a bar that in lieu of buying gallons because of this exact reason, mm-hmm. Milk kept going bad.
Yeah.
They started buying like these small paper cartons that you
get
from
school.
Yeah, from school lunch, right? And I would be I could never open those things, you know? So I'd be the asshole that would just stab it with his wine key and start like fucking cutting it like I'm Rambo in True Blood, you know? Or One Blood, Single Drop. I can never remember the Rambo movies. First Blood. Nailed it. I'm a movie guy.
That's a different podcast.
Have you ever walked into a bar, though, that you felt the health code violations?
Oh, yeah. I won't name names, but where you like ask for a water and then you're like, do you have plastic cups? Because I don't know that your dishwasher has been working for a minute. Like you can feel, I mean, and vice versa. Like bartenders, check your chemicals because sometimes it puts too much, like your glass should never smell like bleach. I'm glad to know it's sanitized.
You should never have soap crust on it.
And it should never be slimy because you're not balancing your dishwasher. But yeah.
Oh, the lament.
The pickled.
Like when you find out at the end of the night that there was no soap in it for the entire rush. Yeah.
Can I ask you, do you know what the correct order of a triple sink is supposed to be?
Oh God, that's been a hot
minute. It's okay. I got into a fight about this the other day.
You do, well, at my place, we did rinse. No, actually, off the top of my head. Well, we did the scrubby thing. I think that was the sanitizer.
It seems to be different everywhere, but the Board of Health and Hygiene says soap, water, sani. Soap, okay, water, sani. Like, yeah, so that it goes in.
There's always a rinse sink.
Yeah, it goes into the soap.
Yep.
It gets, the soap gets washed off. It gets sanitized to dry.
Dry. Okay.
But constantly, you'll have these, you'll go to these bars and you'll have people water, sanitizer, soap. You'll have, I've seen it every which way. South. It is insane. I got into a big fight with the bartender of ours the other day about this because all of our dishwashers broke, like, simultaneously. It's like they got together and decided to form a union. And they were like, we need to be paid more.
We're going on vacation.
But it was, yeah. I was like, Who brought you? Who unionized you guys? Was it the My Little Toaster? I swear to God, that motherfucker has been fucking appliances up since the early 90s.
Little Toaster?
Yeah.
You mean the Brave Little Toaster?
Yeah, what did I? My Little Pony.
Yeah, My Little Toaster.
Let's go with it.
I am really, there's a lot of wires across up in the old noodle today. Oh, my goodness. Chandler did promise me ramen. Maybe that's just literally on the brain.
Get the cheese ramen. Have her dress it up. Yeah,
what?
It's like the instant noodles. We did her game event, and that's kind of the beginning of this wonderful friendship that I have with her. And she did an Insta noodle, like,
buffet.
Yeah, she told us about this.
And she was like, don't diss the cheese. And I was like, well, I am a fluffy girl, and I like cheese and pasta. So, yes,
okay.
Fire it up. And she decorates it and puts some stuff in there, and it was amazing.
We're going to talk more about this off mic. It's actually perfect timing because we're going to take a very quick halftime break, you wonderful listeners and all you barflies, and we will be right back with the second half of The Gauntlet.
These episodes are sponsored by Two Hats Coffee. Two Hats Coffee is a mom-and-pop venture that carefully selects single-origin coffee harvest from Costa Rica and roasts the beans in small batches in the backwoods of East Texas. Pick your preferred roast, choose whole bean or ground, and order online. Costa Rican grown, Texas roasted. Don't worry, I got permission from both of the people from Costa Rica here to say that. So check them out at twohatscoffee.com. That's the number 2hatscoffee.com.
This episode of the Bartender Rant Podcast is brought to you by Punch Drunk Chef Meal Prep. Unbelievable sponsor. One of the people that has made this Dallas-Fort Worth bar crawl even possible. PDC Meal Prep is your premium local pre-order meal prep delivery service that fights to be the most fun, creative, and convenient option for you and your nutrition goals. Their mission is simple. They fuse passion for bettering their community with nutritious and delicious food. They give you meals that use exclusively lean proteins, premium produce, and complex carbs to be the cornerstone of clean eating. The PDC team pushes the envelope of exciting global flavors, responsibly sourced ingredients, nutrient-packed meals designed for your quick and easy convenience. Mike and I can personally attest to how amazing PDC Meal Prep is. They literally supplied the meals for us and our guests and literally fueled the DFW bar crawl. We cannot thank them enough. Big shout out to owner and executive chef Brad Miller and his sous chef Ariel Wakeland. The food was fucking delicious. It was amazing. And that first day at the Algiers Club, if we didn't have them, we would be running around trying to find something else to eat. We cannot thank them enough for their support. And we urge you guys, if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you need to check them out. Just look up PDCmealprep.com. They make your meal prep game clean, easy, and delicious. So quit screwing around and eat like you give a fork. Welcome back, barflies. Halftime was quick and easy this time. We are still coming to you from the wonderful Algiers Club cocktail room. We're upstairs at this beautiful members-only lounge.
We're not even members.
I got to tell you, if you're in Dallas, if you can find a member to invite you or weasel your way in, they have cigar lounges. They have an incredible, incredible facility here. Beautiful
bars, really is a beautiful
amazing
spot,
cocktails.
Yeah.
please check out all of our social media to see just how lucky we are, and how great Tucker has been to give us this space and allow us to do these shows today. So
I hope we can record one while we're smoking cigars. Absolutely. That would be really nice.
Me too. Me too. Well, let's not press our luck this early. Jen, yes. Man, you are crushing it. You're absolutely flying through this gauntlet. And I have no doubts that you would. But now I have a tough question for you.
Uh-oh.
Ranch or blue cheese, Jen? Answer right now.
I'm from Texas. Ranch.
Oh, fuck. Is that more like...
Everything.
Is that more like a name thing? Like, if you're from Texas, you have to pick ranch because your dad owns a ranch, that kind of thing?
I wish my dad owned a ranch. I'm not that rich. Yeah. Somebody probably in my lineage was at some point.
There are Richie ranchers, but you're saying that the state sauce is just ranch.
Yeah, pretty much. We put ranch... like seasoning on fucking everything. It's almost like Frank's Red Hot sauce. Like,
no, when you say the seasoning, you actually like the packet of ranch.
I don't know that
seasoning.
You can buy it, but here in Texas, you can buy a giant thing of just ranch seasoning.
I've seen packets, but I've never seen like a jug.
No, like, you know, taco seasoning, same size.
That's insane.
By Hidden Valley. Not a plug. They did not pay me to say that, but it is. We are picky about our ranch.
There is somebody sitting at the Hidden Valley headquarters, and they're like, all right, we're going to send packets all around the country. But Texas,
we're sending Texas, big.
We're going to send jugs. get him that home. Can we do a sponsorship with Home Depot them some of them buckets?
So, I mean, you put it on, like you said, you compared it to like just another seasoning salt.
Yeah.
What's something obscure you put it on?
Probably broccoli.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, well,
it's fucking delicious on broccoli.
I haven't tried it on eggs, to be honest.
It doesn't seem like a breakfast seasoning.
Yeah, probably not. But I mean, I've done like...
I feel like it'd be good on chicken and waffle.
And tomatoes, so why not? Maybe next time I do that, I'll put some ranch seasoning and see how it goes.
Bang, bang, bang.
So team ranch through and through. Now, how do you feel about blue cheese?
Important question.
I love blue cheese.
Yeah. Okay.
For time and place.
Okay, but you don't judge blue cheese eaters.
No.
Then you're fine. You're an ally. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Wings, you're getting...
I kind of like both on my
wings. Okay, wow.
Well, maybe not with barbecue. Barbecue, it's ranch.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Despite how your answer started, I feel like we're in a good place. I feel like we can continue.
Yeah, well, also you have to be careful what you say because we're not in a safe geographical area.
We're not. Yeah. We got a lot more episodes to go and I got to get to the airport. Right? They're gun carriers in the state. You know what I mean? We had to drive through Mesquite to get here. If I start talking bad about ranch, oh my God, who knows what might happen. All right, let's get back into the gauntlet. Okay. Question number 6. Ratchet and crazy customers. Now, we obviously want to hear the stories about when people be wiling out, when customers are behaving badly, but we also want to hear about...
We can also talk about memorable customers. So this doesn't have to be a negative, cynical story. Yeah. We do love the crazy ones, but this can also be somebody that you'll never forget that, you know, you interacted with.
First thing, don't do cocaine on my bar top.
On the bar top. You can do cocaine and sit at the bar.
Take it to the places that we don't see it. Just don't break out your bag and think it's okay to just literally do a bump.
Can you say where what bar this happened at?
No. Multiples.
Multiples.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like
even
that.
Even before I even knew what cocaine was, I was like, what is... Again, is that,
you got the ranch seasoning with you there?
Yeah. And little mini micro bags? That's amazing.
So now, are they just doing a bump at the bar, or are they actually putting
You're talking about pouring it out on the...
Yeah, like tapping it out. I don't know how to do cocaine, but yes, tapping it out. And I was like, what are you doing? And they looked at me like I offended them. I was like, it's illegal. Also, don't smoke a joint. Like, you don't walk around smoking joints and... places. Well,
even,
at least in
even
Texas,
if cocaine was legal, that's just bad manners.
I'm going to say what I said on Chandler's episode. Do your drugs in the bathroom like an adult. Mm-hmm. Like,
why not?
Or do them before you get there. But come on, people.
Yeah, no. Just
right on the bar. Bags.
Right at the bar.
It seems like that would be one of those unwritten rules, you know, the ones that we don't have to actually share with people.
I feel like you'd have to be pretty far into a bag of cocaine to think
I disagree with
that.
Pretty whacked out.
I disagree with that. I feel like I know more than a few motherfuckers that if they felt cavalier enough, it doesn't matter if they're drop dead sober. That's how they're starting the evening.
It also could potentially be like trying to like get laid to where they're like, yep, I got
this. Look how cool I am, right?
Instead of going around asking, just here it is.
Oh my
whip
god!
Whip it out.
Yeah.
Whip it I mean, out. If I had one, I would whip it out.
God, I have a really bad. I have a like really a bad. Cocaine. I have a really, really embarrassing story that pertains to this particular subject matter. But I was already told that I hate my personal
share the
story.
Fucking story. We're doing good on time.
I'm gonna share later. Just, I'm gonna share later. I'm not gonna.
You're gonna deny Jen.
Well, now
I
want to know.
Mind. Radio tease.
We've already
actually. It'll force me to listen to the podcast. After
bang!
Me.
We just gained a new listener. See, you don't know. You don't even know how good I am at this. Neither do I. But you don't know. You don't know. God, you actually look really handsome today. I'm going to tell you. Is this new? Is this new?
My all the clothes that I wear are either band shirts I bought myself or clothes my stepmother
the
has purchased for me.
Four pairs of jeans you've had since you were 16, right?
No, those I'm so bony that my body parts just tear jeans.
You got a
real
Ichabod Crane thing
Fuck
going on.
Off. Fucking Dahmer and Ichabod Crane, you bastard.
I'm sorry. Jesus At least the second Christ. One's not a killer.
All right, let's move on here. Right. So that is yeah, that also I hope,
I mean that's ratchet and crazy.
And it touches on sex, drugs, and rock and roll as well. So do you have any memorable customers that you want to give a shout out to? Anybody that really stands out?
Made that impact with
me. I mean, I like titties. So anytime there's a nice set of titties at the bar.
Really?
Yeah, why not? Who doesn't love titties?
I agree.
Everybody likes titties.
You're not going to get any arguments from me. I'm just not what I had on my bingo card.
I'm just like, it's not this particular person. It's just like, you should have seen this rack that came in last night.
Yeah, no, I'm like, oh, that's great.
Now, I think it's, we talked to a lot of, and I don't mean to make this gender specific. We talked a lot of male bartenders on the show where people have tried to pay them with here are my tips, right? Like my tab's good, right? That kind of thing. But have you ever gotten to a point where you have a patron at the bar, you're like, man, those are some nice slobber knockers. Jesus and it gets to a point.
Never use that term.
Sweater muffins.
Yeah, I hope no one ever does again.
Bazookas. But has anybody actually,
I mean, I've seen a lot of titties. Okay, so I used to work, funny story, I used to work for this little place that served wings with orange shorts.
Oh.
Okay.
And that
Buffalo
was,
Wild Wings, gotcha.
Yes, definitely Buffalo Wild Wings.
We're already going to get sued by B-dubs. So at this point, I don't even care. Let's just lean in on that one.
Titties are always great. No, I've never had like just outright somebody flash me to get titties.
Well, they don't know.
Definitely.
After they
male
listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I like titties. Flash me, please. I might throw something at you. Who knows?
All titties, or do you have a particular type of titty that you prefer?
All titties?
Yeah. You're
I get jealous when I see like the little bras. Sorry, ladies with the little titties. But I'm like, they're so cute. And then when you get to my size, the bra is not that cute anymore.
The titties are still tittying.
Titties are great.
Don't ask a titty to stop tittying. You know what I mean?
Would you ask a titty to stop tittying?
Would you ask a titty to stop tittying?
Would you ask a titty to stop slobber knocking, Steve?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. There you go. Well done, sir. You're a craftsman. We are sitting in a cigar lounge right now, and I'm staring at a rack of cigar aficionado. And dare I say, you may be a tata aficionado.
Bet y'all probably seen more titties than I have.
I don't know. I don't know.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Sports.
You can get away with looking at them more than we can.
Also, not seeing them, right? Like you don't judge an artist by how many renderings they've made, but by the quality and passion they put behind it. And I think that you have, a real passion for that particular art form. And I think that's great. I think that's beautiful.
God bless titties.
God bless titties. Absolutely. Okay.
God
question
bless titties
number.
And God bless Texas. I'm sorry.
No, thank you. I appreciate
titties and Tejas.
Titties, Texas, and ranch fucking seasoning.
Oh, sprinkle some ranch dressing
on those
ranch
titties.
On the titties. Drizzle a little blue cheese ranch on there. You're good to go.
You guys are here. I'm somewhere else right now. I don't know if anybody else is experiencing that, but let's take a moment of silence. Question number 7.
Fights, arrest, and fires. So as Steve likes to say, this is when shit pops off. We love hearing the crazy stories, but then also it's important because this is where you see kind of what people are made of. You see if your staff can handle these intense situations.
The chaos.
Yeah, and
the
see
chaos.
What they're really made of, yeah.
I mean, I've never witnessed anybody get arrested in my bar. I've heard stories of like people getting arrested, like
shit popped off in the parking lot. Bobby's going to jail.
No, even like they were following said person, like a friend of mine. They were following this person and they thought that was the opportune time while he was in a bar and they walked in shut business down and arrested said person.
Oh, shit.
And then business picked up like 15 minutes later. We're like, I wasn't there, but they were all like, what the fuck just happened?
Are you describing like a Texas Rangers manhunt? Like,
basically, I think
like that, some scene was from like GTA and then something. They go in the Midnight Rambler.
No, it didn't happen at my job.
I would never imply that.
But yeah, no, I've never bar fights. I've worked at some shitty bars and I've seen a lot of bar fights. I've actually had teeth fall into my well.
Into the well. You got to burn the ice.
Like a head. Bam. Teeth went flying into my ice well.
Like slammed onto the bar?
Yeah.
Onto the bar top. Yeah. Like literally bang, like in an action movie.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
What did you keep one of the teeth?
Hell no.
No,
that's not, I feel like probably try to give it back to him.
Maybe you can get this kinda reattached.
Like when you cut the tip of your finger off, you're like, do we keep it or can we put it back on?
shout out to Kempo who kept it in the freezer and lost it in a bet in a game of cards or something, right?
He cut off the top of his finger. Mm-hmm. They didn't have enough time to surgically reattach it. So they sewed him up, but it was enough that it was like something that he wanted to keep as like.
Kept it in the fridge at work.
Special. So he put it in a jar, like a pickled jar, and kept it in the fridge at work until one night in a car game he bet the tip of his finger out of hand and lost it to another
somebody's part. Got oh his finger God. I mean he needs to be careful because you know that could be some witch voodoo shit too.
Yeah.
I want to know what I'm just thinking about teeth in the ice well. Yeah. I just can't get over that image. You
me
know
either.
I do have to imagine like any time this particular category I always think about like if I'm in one of these very chaotic moments, I would love to have like an action movie response line, like
oh, yeah.
"Eat dirt, kid," you know, and then you blow somebody away. I would love to be like, "I'm not the tooth fairy," and then like punch the guy who just had his face slammed in the bar or something like that.
I feel like, or you like slam his face and tell him to bite me or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, see, there you go. But my real question for you is you've been in enough of these mm-hmm. bar fight situations. What's your move? Are you the bartender that just throws their hands up, just like? Whatever, I wash my hands of this.
I mean, being a female and being like 5'2",
right.
on a good day.
You get the shotgun.
Yeah, I mean, I have thrown like shaker tins at people.
Nice.
I've thrown ice scoops to get, I'm like, cool the fuck off, you stupid asses.
Cool off.
never thrown like glass bottles because I fear that comes back at me.
Yeah, but for sure.
I mean, just being like most of the time, and this might be a very Southern thing, but guys kind of protect us usually. Like,
it's kind of a biological thing too.
Should be, yeah. I was like, maybe not nowadays because people don't have manners. Back to that mm-hmm. question earlier, but I've never really had. I mean, I've had people chunk things at me. Yeah. Don't throw.
But nobody's gonna let anybody touch back. The little lady behind the bar.
Yeah, but see, I'm a cunt, so it's one of those like. Am I sweet or am I being an asshole? We don't know. It's a little bit of hatred. But
I think the boomeranging of a shaker tin is the move. That's a good move. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I've had a guy throw a credit card and I did get it cut me. I was like, well, I'm going to keep this fucking Amex and take it to the emergency room.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like he was very mad because his escort for the evening, and I say escort because I know she was purchased.
Rented. Come on now.
Thank you.
It's a transaction.
Wow, I am so
probably with the same Amex card.
I've never been more happy for you to add nuance to a conversation before. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I there's really no judgment here.
Every now and then.
I love people. Go on, make your money.
Really surprise me.
We'll make your money.
So she was rented for the evening and kept ordering very expensive items. And then he got his bill and was like, what the fuck? So obviously it's my fault.
What was her drink? Do you remember?
Well, at this time I had like a really fancy wine system and we had glasses of wine that were like $60.
Nice.
Unbeknownst to him, they drank about 8 of them.
What a fool.
And then she also might have drank some of that like Pappy Van Winkle on the back bar.
Whoa.
Yes. Yeah, so
wine and Winkle?
But then she left?
No.
Yeah.
Nice. See, now that's a good move. And then
I got in trouble. So he like started calling me my favorite word, cunt, and I just was laughing.
So he's mad at you?
Yeah, obviously.
Because what?
He didn't get laid.
Yeah, but how is this your fault?
How dare you let my hooker drink too much?
Yes. I mean, that's one of the other things. Like, I don't know your financial status. I'm not going to look at you and be like, can you really afford this? That's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a financial advisor.
Then he'd be mad that
advisor.
You were punking him out in front of her.
I mean, who knows? But yeah, obviously, it's my fault. So yeah, threw the billfold at me, kept calling me a cunt. And I was like, hey, baby bro, my favorite word. Keep it throwing. And then that's when he hurled the credit card at me and
How can you describe this guy a little bit? Age, stature.
Thank you, Michael.
White guy, dress.
White business looking dude, like all of them.
How old are we talking here?
Probably like sugar daddy status. So like maybe mid.
He's in a suit.
Like he was 50s, in a blazer, 60s, probably 50s.
What's his 50s. Hair situation? Does he have dumb hair?
He actually had really good hair. Like, fuck. He wasn't an asshole. I hate that. Like, as somebody that usually likes older dudes, would probably find attractive. But now I know he buys hookers.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Well, rinse. Beautiful
Thank
ladies.
You. Yes. Thank you.
But yeah.
My God.
Support single mothers.
You know, I'm glad I asked the follow-up question because we got to hear, and this is an amazing reveal. I will say, though, I particularly love our bar fight stories, and we don't get enough of them.
Yeah, true,
we talk a lot about fires and arrests. I love the bar fight stories specifically because when I first got into the business, I was working with a lot of really old school bartenders, guys in their 60s and 70s. I was bar backing for them.
I
used to love it. A fight would break out, and it would almost be like instinct. They would go to jump over the bar and then would realize their hip can't do that anymore. And that like the leg would get up to the even of the bar and they'd be like, ah, ah. And they'd be like trying to like, you know, lick their wounds in the corner while somebody's like breaking a bottle over somebody else's head. And you could just tell like, man, you know, their best days are behind them.
Yeah, that happens.
Either that or they're just like, I'm not dealing with this, but I'm still going to look like, you know, it's like, I would have kicked his ass for this old fucking hip, you know.
I would have beat him up if I could have gotten over the bar.
I mean, I would fucking pull that move, you know.
That's a good move.
I was trying to get there, but just fucking pulled my back, man.
The sciatica.
Speaking of moves.
Question number 8. Originally the sexy Lexi, but we've expanded this to sex, drugs, and rock and roll because it's like you said, you know, you got people coming out and just, you know, dumping cocaine on the bar. You know, it is a party scene a lot of the times in a lot of these different places, so. You know, obviously there's a lot of friction with the people coming in and drinking, bringing their hookers out for a good time.
Yeah.
Also between the staff, people having shots throughout the night and, you know, passing in close corners between one another. Sorry. And then rock and roll. I mean, so just give us some of the good shit is basically what we're looking for.
It's the party scene of the business. That's what we want to know.
Yeah.
I mean, other than having cocaine on the bar top, bars are just fun, right? Like that's what we're all here to do. And we also have to remember that's what they're here to do. I'm trying to have a good time. So, I mean, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, I think that's just a bartender mentality. Mm-hmm. We're all a little psycho. Most artists are. And I say artists because I don't really like the word mixologist, but we have our own artsy-fartsy way of doing things. But, I mean, it just goes with the lifestyle.
You know, we talk about the bar being the third space, this community that people seek out. They choose to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Our canvas is the atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
like,
yeah.
We might want to act like it's the cocktails, but it's not. Right. Like I've drank a lot of shitty drinks at a bar that I love because of the tone that was set by the bartender behind it, or just the other atmosphere around. The cocktail is part of that. The beer is part of that. The food is part of that. But like, that's the canvas, right?
Yeah.
It's the entire.
So I gotta ask. So you've given us some drugs. You've given us some rock and roll and some bar fights. Mm-hmm. Do you have any good sex stories from your time in the industry?
I mean, I've seen a lot of sex in weird places. I mean, people just like to have sex in public. Mm. I actually...
Steve, you said that with a little too much. Mm. He wasn't
you,
just
you
agreeing.
You want to elaborate on that?
He was thinking about something that happened a few weeks ago, I'm sure.
He's smirking.
You don't understand. Since I can say this because we've never used her name, but we're driving to go pick up Stefan, our audio daddy, and he's talking to his girl on the phone.
Hey,
and
then
the lady...
The lady.
Thank you.
Lady.
They're
talking
explicit.
About she his fucking care. Dick, and we got brought up because apparently your dick looks very similar to the award-winning penis we talked about not too long ago.
They could be twins.
But then he starts talking about her fucking pussy.
So many questions.
And it's just like I'm happy for them. I love that they've been together for years, and they have this still
very visceral sexual
connection. I don't want to have to fucking listen to it while I'm driving through Dallas traffic.
Mike
and hear
and
him talk about her fucking
time.
Pussy. I know this lady, okay?
Mike and I have been friends for a long time. We lived together for a long time, okay? Mike has seen me date other people. Mike has seen me date this person. But the consistent thing throughout all of them is I'm not a pig.
You are a pig.
I'm not a pig. I'm
a little
committed
sex monster.
Gentleman in the relationship that I'm in, and I love the lady. But when I'm
that's sweet.
One of the common thread in all of this time that I've known him is Mike really has a problem with other people being explicit around him.
No, I don't care if you're explicit. Like, I don't want to hear you have a sex conversation. Like a dirty talk. Like set
her and I are laughing, clearly like fucking around, joking.
You didn't do this to me.
So I asked her on the phone as we're driving to pick up Stefan from the airport. I asked her on the phone because we were talking about like, you know, because obviously we're long distance back home now and I'm here in Dallas. I was like, yeah, I mean, if you decide to go, you know, diddle one out and you're getting off and I'm on the phone and Mike's on speaker with us, is that technically a threesome? Right? And so I was just asking the question. I'm curious. You know, I don't know.
She said, not if I can't hear her.
Yeah, if he can't hear her, then I'm glad we got to the bottom of it.
I mean, that's interesting.
Now I know.
I mean, I'll teach you guys this. I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I'd watch their porn, like when I see a hot couple.
Yes, yeah. There you go.
I'd subscribe to that channel. Yeah. And now I have a lot of my friends that are like, I'd watch that. I watched that solo porn.
Show never fails. I'm so happy you brought this up because now that prompted Jen to share that little anecdote. Yeah. And now I have a story that I never even thought about that I have to tell. Our good friend Bree Lowry, who came on the show, her and I are working about a month back. I don't think she'll mind me sharing this particular story. A gentleman walks in the bar, never seen him before. Okay, sits down, super polite, but kind of like he's there by himself. He's being quiet. He's only drinking whiskey. That's it. No food, nothing. And so we're not having an interaction. But about 5 minutes after he comes in, it's time to take out the trash. There's a bunch of trash full. So I flip them all. And I like taking out the trash. The moment I get to get outside, away from the bar, away from the chaos, and just like have a moment. So I'm taking the trash out. And I walk out the door. And I'm coming through we have this big parking lot. And there, parked right on the corner of the curb in front of the building, is a pristine cherry red 65-66 Impala, nice convertible. Just, I'm talking mint. Every last aspect of this thing restored to the nines, and I'm just drooling. And I'm standing out there looking at this car as Bree comes walking out to do a beer run to restock something, and she walks out and just stops dead in her tracks. She's like, "God damn it. Whose car is that? We have to find out." I said, "I bet it was that motherfucker. We've never seen him before. Never seen this car before. He walked in the bar and now the car's here." And she goes, "Oh, dude, can you ask him? Can you ask him, please?" And so I go back in and I go right up to him. I was like, "Hey, man, is that your Impala outside? That thing is mint." He's like, "Yeah, it's beautiful. You guys want to go check it out? Like, you want to hop in it and ride it?" And Bree shouts, I want to fuck in that car."
Yeah, she won't mind you sharing that story.
Oh, my God.
She said, "I want to fuck in that car or I'd fuck you in that car."
No,
that
she said to him, she goes, "That is such a sexy car. I would fuck in that car."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She literally was so, she was so busy. It's such a beautiful car. It's like, I want to have sex in that car. It was and I share the same sentiment. He laughed. He's now become a regular. He's been back.
I bet. I mean, he's got some intention there now.
Nah, he's great.
When do you get off? Let me take you for a spin.
He's really respectful, good dude.
What? You can't be respectful and want to fuck a young attractive woman?
Absolutely. I'm just saying this guy's in like his mid to late 70s. You know, it's just thank God he's not being a creep. Is my only point, right? Okay. It's a cool car. Part of the sex stories, but any other sex, drugs, rock and roll you want to share with us?
No, I like to let people keep their own shit.
Cool.
I love that though. I know Steve and I are going to say that to each other. Like, I'd watch that porn.
Yeah. I'd watch that porn. It's always a good one. Why wouldn't you? I'm like, yeah, they're hot.
Mike, I would fuck you in the Algiers Club. That's how nice this
one is. I would not watch that porn.
Okay, question number 9. Hazing, pranks, and games.
Oh, I'm an evil bitch.
You don't even need me to elaborate. You already know. Go ahead.
Again, worked at that wing place with the orange shorts, and I opened a new one, and horrible human, I told the girls that you had to tell the computer what kind of credit card it was.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's so good. And like, verbally?
This is back in the day. Oh, yeah. And this is back in the day when you still had to sling the orders to the kitchen. So you would just hear girls go, "Visa!
Discovery!
Swipe!" Back in the day, Diners Club! Swipe! And that place is like a sports venue, right? Like, we used to show fights and like big football games, so it's loud as fuck.
So they had to yell it at the top of their
scream. And then it got to a point where I was like, I can't stop this.
You're a gift. Too good. You know that, right? You're a gift.
My mom told me the same thing.
Christ, that's so good. We love that. This is Mike and I's favorite category, but very often we're talking about the classics, which we love to. I'm happy to talk about it.
But that's a fresh one right there.
Whenever you give me a fresh one, I think it was the bread bin. I don't remember who's
the bread button.
The bread button was a good one, man. From a couple episodes back.
Were you able to get, obviously you could get the new girls that started working there. Yeah. Were you able to get anyone that was on before you?
Oh, because this was a brand new
Hoosier. You told them this is it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You said that.
I was part of the training team.
Oh, I have two very important follow-up questions. Number one, I have to assume at some point some people got it and they helped you continue the joke, right?
Oh, yeah. No. Okay. A couple of the veterans,
And question number two, and this is the most important one. Did you take it to a second level of, hon, you're not speaking into the microphone. It's over there.
No, I never went that far.
Keep it a little vague. You know, you don't want to give them any more information.
I mean, it was funny when some of the girls are like, what? Like, you could see they're like, I don't think this is right. And I'm like, I don't know. It just, that's what we're
saying. New tech. We're cutting edge.
And I was like, you know, get close and say Visa, or scream it.
Yeah, it's a double authentication system. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, we pay more.
Visa!
we have to pay more of a percentage for certain credit cards. So we want you to yell it so we can categorize them, you know?
Right, yeah.
Oh, my God.
See, that's where I think it would be totally acceptable as a guest at that place. To close your drink out every time with your card. Never open a tab. Absolutely. Never open a tab.
You know what? That's a really good observation by you because that would be, and I hate that. You know, that's one of my biggest
as a guest sitting there, a guest sitting there, a girl comes up and does that and you're like, there's something. Just something a little off with her, you know. She's got a tick, it's fine. But then when the next girl and then the girl after comes up, it's like, what the fuck is going on?
Did anybody take it a step further? And they were like, Blue Visa, Raven's credit card.
I don't recall any of that, no.
Oh, but, God, that's awesome.
It's still like the color orange and then hearing somebody scream Visa, slight still turn on for me, but.
So good.
But yeah, that was a good one.
It's so good. Obviously, this is
horrible
this is,
human.
This is me and Stone's fucking gold. This is me and Steve's. Favorite category.
Yeah, we could shut down the category with that. But
I mean,
yeah.
Like, you know, I got – here's my hazing prank fucking up.
She said, you said you're evil. Do you have any others?
I had – this poor child. I'm short, and this guy was shorter than I am, and I had him rotate the ice maker, and he was a gymnast. And you know how, like, the little cubby hole? He was in it, and I forgot about him while I was training him, so I – like go clean some tables. I'm like, where the hell did this kid go? I go in the back and you just see legs sticking out of the top. And he is shifting the ice to rotate the ice.
Oh, rotating. The ice maker. Okay. So he's rotating the ice around in he's the ice. That's another one I haven't heard before.
So he's taking the ice from the front of the bin and putting it back, top loading it.
Yeah. He's trying to scoop and dump. To rotate the ice.
See, and it's almost slats. Just you're believable enough.
You're a savant. You're good at this.
Horrible human. I also have a little sister. That probably helped.
She was your guinea pig. You got a Tesla on her.
I'm serious. You really have a future here. If you ever want to kind of wind down from the business, you should really consider curating all these and writing like a restaurant business prank book. Mm-hmm. Because those are two of the better ones we've ever heard.
Truly. Well
thank you.
And that's why I do love this category because of them are so classic. You know, get the left-handed ladle, that kind of stuff.
I got hot watered.
Yeah. And you when fell for younger, it. Yeah. I'm actually surprised. I actually figured, was this on the dock?
It was not. It was up the second job at the barbecue place, Red Hot and Blue. At probably a solid like 6 to 8 pitchers.
Yeah.
And then I was kind of like, it's not even cooling off. I mean, it kind of cools off. I was like, my daddy taught me better than this. And I looked at the equipment. I was like, God,
there's
damn
a fucking water line.
Yeah. Yes, because it's such a small thing. Where would the water even be?
I mean, also, why would you rotate ice in the ice?
No,
maker?
Well, see, but that's just believable enough. You got to keep it from freezing and sticking to the bottom. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just believable.
Ice is very expensive. We need to save the old stuff.
At this like sweet little place, I'll say blue crab color and crustacean, And I sent people to go to the place across the street, which had the pasta and the breadsticks, to get lobster food.
Lobster food. Did you guys have...
Because we had tanks of lobsters.
What did they get for the lobster food?
Usually, because like the restaurants were right next door.
Oh, you mean to feed the live lobsters?
The live lobsters. They would usually come back with like lettuce, which we have lettuce.
Like, well, lettuce, and I brought some of my ranch seasoning from home, too. Send, put that in there.
You know, a lot of people don't know this. Even though lobsters are native to the North Atlantic, they love Italian.
Yes, that lettuce. But then they would send people to come get pasta water.
Oh, my God.
That was their trick.
Yes.
Did you just scoop it right out of the lobster tank? The
lobster. There you go.
Should have. I was like, I don't remember. We did have one guy. We sent him to go get steam from.
Yeah.
The breadstick place, and he came. They had a helium tank for whatever reason. I don't know why. And they came over with a trash bag with helium.
Come on.
Across the parking lot. It was the funniest fucking thing. This was also in the early 2000s, pre-phones. So we were just horrible people.
Y'all are just losing it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, just my God. Just a floating trash bag.
There is something really special. We actually never talked about this for this category. There's something special when you can get a coworker to leave the premises.
Mm-hmm. And when the other places are in on it, too.
You're all glued to the windows like a kid from, like, Christmas Story walking down the street shopping through the – you know, like window shopping. You're all glued to the windows watching this person go across a parking lot to do some terrible scavenger hunt or coming back with a bag of steam.
Yeah.
And it's just – man, some of the hardest you'll ever laugh in your entire life. My goodness.
Let me just finish the thought. Please. The reason I love this category is because for listeners of the show who still work in the industry, mm-hmm. this is fresh stuff. You know what I mean? We've given people so many ideas for how to fuck with them. But honestly, the yelling at the computer, the credit card name, that is fucking gold.
This is when you imagine busy nights and they're having to scream, Visa! And, like, swiping the card.
We have a brand new bartender starting this week. She's never worked high volume bar, and we have a brand new POS system. We got a toast update that just came in.
See, you're going to have to get your other bartenders in
on it.
I'm doing
it. It's going in the group chat the second we're done with this episode. I'm telling you. All right, guys,
you're doing God's work here.
You really are.
I'm glad I added something to society.
Let's bring her on home. Question number 10. Firing and quitting stories, or as we affectionately call this category,
getting 86'd.
Ooh, 86'd. I have been fired a couple of times. I was late, or like I haven't done anything too scandalous to get fired. I did cuss out a manager. I was 18 and cussed him out, and I said, "Go fuck yourself."
Oh, you were 18.
This was
too.
Also like early 2000s, and the Me Too movement hadn't really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And being sexually harassed by your manager, and then you try to talk to other people, and then I was the bad guy.
Yeah.
So I was just like, "Fuck you!" and like stormed out of the building and told everybody he's a sexist fuck. Not with the orange shorts place, but I mean, I've never really personally done anything. I usually try to be respectful and give like a 2-week notice. Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I definitely had a lot of grandmas pass away and then just not show back up. But I only have 2 grandmothers. But I had a lot.
Shout out, Judy.
Shout out to Judy's.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, no, I've never...
Grandmas pass away.
You know, the whole thing. Like, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, yeah, my grandma's sick.
Oh, yeah.
They were sick a lot. And I had a lot of... Like, at that point, I was like, we're... going to pretend like my grandfather is married 8 times in one week, you know, like,
yeah, he's a Lothario. I don't know what to tell you. Okay,
look at me, it's great. But yeah, no, I've never I don't really have any like fun quitting or
I
even,
mean the double fingers to the sky is always good. Did you see anybody else get fired in a spectacular way, or anyone else who quit and you
go out in a blaze of glory?
I mean, I have seen people where like you're in the middle of a shift and something happens and I don't really know, like, snap. This isn't just bartending, it's like in a restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, you kind of know something's happening, but you're too busy to actually like tap, you know, like you're just in it, and then you're like, where's George? Like, where did the whole person disappeared, and now the whole section is like, where's George, where's our food, you know? Yeah. Like, they just walk out.
Yeah.
I've had like, when I've trained people, I've had people like my trainee, I'm like, they've been in the bathroom for a really long time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, nothing.
It does feel like the black hand of the Illuminati literally just erased them from the earth. Yeah. Sometimes you're like, that's weird. George, you just had the section there, next to me. You did just allude to one that we, again, don't talk about enough. I love those trainees that come and start a new restaurant and they quit the same day, but they don't say anything. They're just like in the process of training. They're like, I fucking hate this. Already? I'm going to go. Thanks,
guys. You're a seasoned vet in the industry. I can pinpoint it from a mile away.
Yeah.
Like, I see it. I'm like, oh, they're going to last like 24 hours. It's cute. Yeah. I'm not even going to learn your name because I don't have the capacity for it. But yeah. No, nothing crazy.
Just remember, you gotta really yell that name of the credit card loud on the computer.
Especially Diners Club.
Oh, my God.
Do they have Diners Club anymore?
I don't know. I hope so. I really hope so. All right. What an unbelievable jaunt through the gauntlet. Jen, bravo to you.
Yeah.
That was so much fun. My God. One of my favorite question number nines we have ever had. I mean that sincerely. I love the new ones, man. I just really do. I love the ones that cut.
You're already plotting. I know. You're already plotting.
I really am. The gears are turning
bigger, y'all.
Aaron, shout out. You're wonderful, but it's not going to be a good week for you.
Don't post it till after he starts.
Her. No worries.
She's yeah, this isn't going to come out for a long time.
Coming out this week. Media daddy's over in the corner just laughing away. All right, we got a few more questions. We got to get you out of here. We're stacked up on a few more shows. We do a question that we call the cleanup. You know, the bar's closed, the customers have left. It's time to clean everything up.
Okay.
So first question, just give us some recommendations on places we need to go around Dallas, places you love, drinks you like, just general recs.
Okay, so clean up at the end of the night, always start top to bottom. Why are you going to start cleaning at the bottom when you've got to work your way up?
You're
going to
wipe the ship off. Yeah, on like, the ground.
I mean, that's also how I know, like, this shit's done.
That's probably why Kempo says clean down.
You got to clean down. Yeah. That makes there sense. Are like, people that clean up. You'll see them literally wipe the bar top and then they'll do the racks of bottles above that. And it's like
the dust just falls or, you know, what have you. But yeah, like nothing really in particular.
There's got to be a place around here that you like.
Oh, like if we want to go places.
We're not talking about cleaning. She's like giving us some cleaning tips.
No, no. We call the cleanup as a cheeky type of category.
Got it.
See, give us recommendations here.
I'm from Texas.
She's always working, people. She's always on.
Like, I don't know. I guess start at the top. You know, make sure you got plenty of hot water.
To her core. No. Give us recommendations of bars, restaurants, drinks, food that you like.
Hands down, one of my favorite bars in Dallas. It's called Mike's Gemini Twin Lounge.
We're going
it's
there.
Are y'all, is that yeah, on we the are. List? Yep. I spend my last four birthdays there. I just tell people I'm like having dinner.
Yeah.
I'm eating hot dogs and drinking dirty gin martinis at a dive bar.
Love that has
a pole, like a stripper pole, but it's not really attached. So don't try to swing on it because you will fall over.
Good to know.
Yeah, I'm glad
obviously,
you told
Steve, I'm going to put my plug in for Midnight Rambler because we're a great cocktail bar. It's lounge basement. It does have a weird smell, but it's also a basement. So if you're not used to basement smells, that's what it smells
it's
like.
It's a fucking basement.
It's a basement.
It's a fucking basement.
But yeah, I was like, I mean, we're kind of at a, like a, I don't want to say high class, but Mike's Gemini always, if you want to dance, I don't know when y'all are leaving.
I don't know. I just know we're going to Mike's tonight.
It also depends. Mike's tonight. It depends on if Chandler kicks us out or not before the rest of the
we're going to burn that bridge sooner or later.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know. Mike's is just, it's everything I want my home bar to be.
Let's leave it there.
Y'all are going.
That Midnight Rambler, I think, two really good ones.
Yep.
Give us a bartender that needs to be on the show. Shout out somebody. Ooh. Lay down the gauntlet for
ooh.
Them.
Damn, that's hard. I mean, Haley is fantastic. She's very sweet and I love her. She's my coworker.
Jad Rambler.
She has a lot. Okay. Yeah. She's my lead bartender at Rambler. She has a lot of funny stories. What's fun about our juxtaposition is like, I'm old. I was born in the 80s. I know it's weird, but she's a lot younger than I am. And her and I have this like funny little balance. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying I'm the old lady of the bar, but like we banter. Back
you're like
and
generational
forth.
Sidekicks. It's kind of fun.
I mean, it's every Batman needs a Robin. But yeah, Haley would be fantastic. Her knowledge and her like the way she knows Amaro's and just the way she can talk, one girl can only hope that I could get to that level. I know my own stuff, but I mean, Chandler knows all of us. She's got y'all. I know who's on the lineup.
I know, but we want to know.
Oh no, yeah,
we
want to get him because I mean, we'd love to come back to Dallas at some point. Yeah. So we just want to.
I would say Haley for sure, and then I'm sure there's like
It's like a personal favorite thing. You know, it's like how you pick grandpa's.
Patrick Zimmerman. I don't know where he's working at, but he's fucking hilarious. And he's been in the Dallas industry scene for a long time. Like, I mean, I float around in the suburbs and kind of just had my resurgence of like popularity in my name, I should say. But he's been all over the place.
Awesome. Okay. Awesome. Haley and Pat.
Now, I usually we also in the cleanup say, did we miss anything? But I think we're going to skip that for today because we got a lot. We've covered so much. So then the last one we got our tip out. All right. So these are our two closing questions. Steve, please take it away.
Okay. Now this is a tongue in cheek sort of question, but I think you'll understand. You whiskey and sarcasm, right?
And a little bit of hatred.
Always.
Why do you still do this? AKA, why do you fucking hate yourself?
Because I'm a sadist. No, I genuinely, as somebody, and I get frustrated because I have a lot of friends that are like, it's not a career, you're bartending. I was like, to me, this is a career. I also hate myself, but I genuinely, there's something about my psychotic brain that whenever I make a drink and I see somebody smile, that actually makes me happy. Like, I did good. Or if I introduce you to something new that you've never tried, that's one of my favorites.
See, you put on this big show, but you're a softie.
She is.
You're a softie.
Somewhere deep down inside, past this whiskey exterior.
No, I mean, I am. I cry all the time. Like, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad.
It is so cool when you break somebody's mold and they're like, I love this thing. I'm like, you do? Well, can we talk about something else? And can I introduce you to something new? It's so cool to feel. You feel like a little tour guide of this this world that they don't know about. And that's always one that really gets
See?
To me.
Look, we're all crying now.
I know.
He's got big baby crocodile tears. I'm sure.
All right, Mike, bring us home.
So, final question. Mm-hmm. Great, great episode. That was a lot of fun.
Outstanding work by you.
If you were to open a bar, what would you call it, or what would the theme be?
It'd probably be "Go Fuck Yourself." I don't think I can put that on the sign.
I love that.
But maybe like "Go ". And then like,
or GFY.
That's not a bad one. I mean, I've thought about that over the years. I don't ever want to open my own bar. I have zero desire to own any. I will help collaborate. I will help you. I will never do my own. So I don't really think about it, to be honest.
As I'm thinking about this, you could even call it Goofies and be like, people are like, oh yeah, it's, why would you name it Goofies? Oh, it's, guys, it's an acronym for go fuck yourself.
That's actually a pretty good one. Yeah. Yeah. No, zero desire. Zero.
Well, I think that you clearly have a talent for this, and I totally understand why so many of our guests say, yeah, I would never fucking open a restaurant. Some, that's their passion, but that's the cool thing about this business. Mm-hmm. We're all this weird, fucked up family, enjoying it and interacting with this service industry in different capacities. And for some people, it's one day a week. For some people, it's a career. You know, it's your safety net on money. It's your main driver that's paying your mortgage. But it is a fun fucking time, man.
Never a dull moment.
We wouldn't be here if not for people like you and people like Chandler. Thank you so much, Jen, for joining us.
Thanks for doing this.
What a wonderful kickoff to a crazy day of BRP episodes. I'm going to say fuck off for now, but we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening along, and thanks for drinking along. We really hope you enjoyed the show, and if you did, we release new episodes whenever we can. A big shout out to our friends at Trauma Parlor, whose song Fast One you heard throughout the show. They also just dropped a new single called I Don't Look Enough Like Mary Tonight. Please check them out on Spotify. They're just fucking kick-ass. They're just rock and roll.
Yeah, give them some love.
Yeah, give those motherfuckers some love.
You know, all these DFW Bar Crawl episodes have been incredible, and we just really hope you guys are enjoying them. Keep in mind, you know, if you want us to come to your city, reach out to us, DM us, email us. Well, you know, let's start a GoFundMe. Let's make it happen. We've been so blessed to be able to come here to Dallas and do all these amazing shows, but we could not do it without the support of the people who listen and our team. You know, our partnership with Herd and everything that Chandler has been doing to put us up in her house and organize this week, and then the media daddy, Stefan.
Say hi, Stefan.
Oh,
he just waved.
Okay.
He's waving along,
but he... If you're sitting there saying to yourself, oh my God, I can actually hear Mike and Steve talk in my car speakers, that is literally because of Stefan. So we thank him, and we're going to hopefully bring you more and more of these bar crawl sort of content. If you want to be one of our regulars, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at BRP Drink
Just along. BRP
Drink At BRP along. Drink Along. Sorry, no the. You can listen along anywhere you get your podcast just by searching the Bartender Rant Podcast. Please subscribe, rate, and review. This is the best way. Sorry, big burp there. This is the best way to help us grow the show and reach new listeners. The more ratings and reviews, the faster we climb up the charts. And plus, Mike and I really need the personal validation.
And you know what? I'm feeling it this week. Being here in Dallas-Fort Worth, it's just been incredible. We just got to meet so many awesome people and just have a shit-kicking good time down.
Everybody at the Algiers Club, everybody at the usual. You guys are the bomb. So great. So great to us. And I know we've had other sponsors, PDC Meal Prep. I know that we had Two Hats Coffee. Everybody that has come out to support the show has been awesome. Tell them what they shouldn't forget, Mike.
Don't forget that if you're a Spotify user, be sure to check out our BRP playlist on Spotify. We just got some cool music on there. But most importantly, we've got the BRP Industry Night, where each guest we have on the show gets to pick three songs to add. They're all added chronologically, so you can see which of your favorite guests, you know, what kind of music that they're into.
Or you can bash them for their bad music.
Oh, and some of them have some shit taste and music. I don't know if it's intentional, but it's fucking bad.
Do you guys want some kick-ass show merch?
I do.
Of course you do. Check out all of our amazing swag. The link to all of those cool designs is in the show description and on our Instagram page. And if you want to just hang out with Mike and me, join us the first Monday of every month for a virtual industry night happy hour. We're going to have some drinks. You can meet some fellow barflies like Chandler. I don't know. I have a Costa Rican friend. And you can listen to our guest bartender playlist. You also will have an opportunity to tell Mike and I how much we suck at podcasting. Make sure you follow us on social media for the links to all of those Industry Night Happy Hour video calls.
I want to do this time.
Okay.
And now, for all of you shit talkers out there, it's your turn on the mic. Look, we've set up a bartender hotline called The Suggestion Box, where you can air your grievances, tell your stories, or just rant about the fucking bullshit you just put up with on your shift. All you have to do is dial 423-POD-RANT and drop us a line. Steve and I will play the best of the bunch. We'll react to your crazy stories on this new bonus segment. So the next time the bar business has you saying, fuck me, just dial 423-POD-RANT.
That's right.
And if you want to be one of our VIP listeners, please subscribe to the Bartender Rant Podcast on Patreon. You'll get access to all of our bonus content like the Boilermaker tapes, like the Suggestion Box, special releases, and so much more. You also will be listed on the episodes as one of our executive producers.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you want to be a big tipper,
a.k.a. one of our Bozells,
feel free to leave a tip on PayPal under the bartenderrantpodcast@gmail.com. If you do, we'll list you as one of those wonderful executive producers, and we will shout out your name and your drink of choice on the show. Really quickly, let's run through our Bozells, Mikey. Why don't you do them this time?
All right, and we're going to start things off with our newest Bozell, Katie. Katie, thank you so much for the support. We sent you a DM on Patreon. Get us that drink of choice when you can, and we'll make sure to add it. Then we've got James Smith and Madeline Russell. Same thing. Check your Patreon, and we'll get that drink from you and shout it out on the next episodes. But thank you very much for the support. And then we've got Mike, my father. Thanks, Dad, with the 7 and 7 and a maraschino cherry. And then, of course, we have the wonderful Chandler with the brass monkey, that funky monkey. Next, we got Leah Grace with the Old Fashioned, a classic drink for a classy lady. Then we've got Brandon from Bartenders, Daiquiri and Car Bombs. And then we've got Leah Lamarge all the way from Perry, France, with the Madeline Shot. It's a shaken shot of amaretto with Contro and pineapple juice. Next, we have Javier Ramirez with Dak Till Death. As always, we know what he's drinking. And then, of course, we've got Regina Grace with the Draft Natty Light and a hop horn and a champagne flute. Who hurt you, girl? I'm sorry. Next, we got Justin Tress with the Cannon Addy and a shot of Rumble Mints. And then Colin McFarland with the gin and tonic and a smoked glass, another classy drink. And then finally, we've got the Mighty Kempo with a Fernet Branca and soda. Thank you guys so much. Can't tell you how much your support means to us and truly how much it helps keep the show keep going. So thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it.
Look, Mike and I do this because we love the service industry and we want to bring you guys great content, but this is not our day job. With your help, we can keep the stories coming and interview local bartenders from coast to coast. And as always, don't just listen along,
drink along. If you or someone you know is struggling with alcoholism or substance abuse, please contact SAMHSA's National Helpline at 1-800-662-HELP.
That's 1-800-662-4357. Their national helpline is free, confidential, 24/7, and 365 days a year. Look, we love you guys. We really appreciate listening along, but more than anything, we want you to stick around. And you can't do that if you're not taking care of yourself. So if you do need some help, please reach out to their national helpline. If you're an international listener, please just get online and find a helpline or a help center near you. And as always, Steve and I are happy to talk to anyone. If you need just somebody to talk to or vent to, we're happy to be there for you. We can't offer you any professional help, but we really do appreciate you guys being a part of this podcast, and we want you to stick around, and Steve and I are happy to help in any way that we can to make sure that that happens. So thanks again, guys. We love you, and we'll see you on the next episode.